Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. If you have a Bible question or if you're struggling with some issue in life, well, we'd invite your call right now to speak directly with us, and that number is 844-322-2742. For those of you who listen on CSN and Sirius XM, you're hearing a delayed broadcast, of course, but you can still get your question to us by voicemail at that same number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Once again, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, we're talking about the love of God and the assurance that we can have in Christ Jesus, and certainly in this crazy world that we live in, there's a lot of instability, there's a lot of uncertainty, and one thing that we can have as believers in Christ is a certain hope and a certain assurance that we truly belong to God.
Yeah.
Now, all throughout the Word of God, we see God through His prophets, God through His apostles, God through, you know, everything that's written from Genesis to Revelation, telling us that those who believe the promise concerning the Son are going to be marked out as one of His very own and are going to be secure eternally. I mean, that is the trail of assurance from Genesis to Revelation. And a lot of times we go into the Word of God and we're looking for things that we're supposed to be doing. And so instead of seeing a trail of assurance, we see a trail of condemnation. We start to feel guilty. We start to feel frustrated. We start to feel like we don't measure up. We start to feel like that we're not making the grade as far as God's commands are concerned. But we could never make the grade. We could never live up to the righteous requirements of the law. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. That is an impossibility for humans. It just can't happen. I mean, Adam and Eve, they didn't have to live up to a righteous standard. God just created them in perfect harmony and perfect union with Him. And they enjoyed that fellowship day in and day out. All they knew was the love of God, the goodness of God, because that's how God created them. And they walked in dependence upon Him. That's how God put this thing into being. But then sin entered in. And sin ruffled the feathers, so to speak. It caused a great divide between God and man. And the bridge between the two of us now is Jesus Christ. Jesus had to do the work to draw us back unto God the Father. And He's done that. And so now those of us who are in Christ, those of us who have named the name of Jesus, who have called upon the name of Jesus, have been reunited, joined to God forever. So you can either go through the Word of God and look for the things that you think God wants you to do to earn your status, and you're going to walk down a trail of condemnation. Or you can look and see the assurance, the love that God has for us and how He demonstrated that in the person of Christ Jesus. And this Word of God from Genesis to Revelation becomes a trail of assurance. Now, I'd rather walk that trail of assurance. I guarantee you it has much better scenery and much better views. But here's one of those views out of the Word of God. It's 1 John chapter 5. And He says this, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So the Bible is God's testimony concerning His Son. It is the story of Jesus Christ, how God was going to send Him into the world to do something on our behalf so that we could be included in the family of God. So this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So where is eternal life to be found? Well, it's going to be found in Jesus Christ. That's the only place eternal life is going to be found. It's not in religion. It's not in philosophy. It's not in science. It's not in economics. It's not in human relationships. It's not in sex. It's not in power. Eternal life is not in any of those. It is in Christ Jesus. And if you have the Son, and that's what he says, whoever has the Son has life. So if you have Jesus, guess what? You have eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's a black and white binary reality. Either you are connected to Christ or you're not. Now, the way to be connected to Christ is open to all. There are many rooms in our Father's house. Yeah. So there's room for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. But when you call upon the name of the Lord, you get joined to Christ. Right. His life becomes your life. And so he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. So here is one of those peaks in the New Testament concerning our assurance of salvation. So when you walk through the Word of God, you're going to see these peaks throughout. And these are the things that calm your soul, put rest in your heart and mind, give you peace, and just makes the heart overflow with gratitude and thanksgiving because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Bob, thanks for those thoughts. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us today. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast at a little after 3 p.m. Central Time, well, it is live, and this is your opportunity to call and speak directly with us inside the studio here at Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And friends, now as much as ever, we need your support, your gifts, to help secure Basic Gospel future, you know, on the air and online. And Bob, you are very good at laying out the need without sounding alarmist. But sometimes it just gets to the point where we need to ring that bell, and we just have to put it out there. So talk to our listeners, our listener friends, about the need for support for Basic Gospel, like right now.
Well, that's exactly right, Bob. We do need support right now. Back in March, you know, we shut down the country because of the coronavirus, and then people started to get back to work, and we started to open up the country again. And when that happened, donations didn't soar, but they started to rise, and we started to catch up on the loss that we experienced during those first 2 months. Yeah. Well, now we've had a second wind of coronavirus shutdowns, yeah. and it's just affecting how people use their money,
right,
and decide on how they're going to spend the money. Well, that's affecting us and probably many, many ministries around the country. And we need your help right now. So if you have the means to give a gift to Basic Gospel, we ask you to do so. We ask you to be generous. And now's not a time to shrink back from our task of testifying to the grace of God. What our country needs, just in light of all the other things that are going on, is a fresh, powerful dose of the grace of God. Yeah. We need to be in a position to allow the gospel to call people back, or to call people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need your help to get this word out, and we need your help now. So your support is critical, and the need is urgent. So let's do everything that we can to support and empower the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel.
We don't often give the street address for the ministry, but we should be doing that. And I'd like to give that address right now for those of you who would like to use that to make your contribution to Basic Gospel. You can just send your check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. That's in Lewisville, Texas, and the zip is 75057. Once again, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Lewisville, Texas, 75057. And of course, you can always use the old standby. It's called basicgospel.net.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as the quickest and easiest way to make a contribution, basicgospel.net, yeah, is that way to do it. So just go to basicgospel.com or .net, click on the donate button, and follow the instructions, and come be a part of what God is doing through, yeah, Basic Gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, the phone number, friends, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is, I don't quite get, do things in moderation or do all things in moderation? I don't know where that's found in the Bible. I've just heard it.
Well, I think it's just common sense that we do things in moderation. I don't know that you're going to find a specific verse. Some things back in Proverbs 25:27, for example, would give that idea. We see some things in the book of Corinthians where Paul talks about all things are lawful to me, but all things are not helpful. So it's I think, Mary Jo, what we need to get down to is this, that we are called to walk by faith and to express that faith in love to others. So part of doing things in moderation fits under that umbrella of walking by faith and expressing that faith and love for others. So that's kind of the idea that we really want to latch onto. In any given situation, how do I love this person that is standing right in front of me? Or how can I be an expression of God's love in this group that I'm connected with? That's what we're talking about. And I think if we will latch on to that, then common sense will follow that basic philosophy or principle of life. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I'm basing it on, I struggle with, I'm single and I'm thinking about sex. The Bible doesn't approve of that, right?
No, I mean, it would call sex outside of marriage, any type of sex outside of marriage as sexual immorality. And so it's something that will bring harm to you as an individual and to anybody that participates in that. I mean, we see throughout the Word of God that sexual immorality is something that God warns against. And he says, let's leave that in the sacred bonds of marriage. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your answer.
Well,
and
you're
you
welcome.
All have a terrific day.
Thank
well,
you,
thanks, Mary Jo. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. Well, we had from Garden Grove, California, a question from Ron. Bob, he says, we all believe by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ done on the cross, that he removed our sin and now lives his life through us and has provided an eternal home with the Father. Why then, in Ephesians 17:26, is Paul still dealing with the sin issue? And later on in the same chapter, he's telling us, do not do this or do not do that. I'm having a hard time with these passages, so I can imagine the problem a new believer would have in hearing about our freedom in Christ. These passages seem like Paul is falling back on performance instead of freedom in Christ.
Well, that's a great question, Ron. And throughout Paul's writings, throughout the entire New Testament, it talks about the fact that we've been saved from the corruption that was in the world. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins, that we followed the ways of this world. We were enslaved to the prince of the power of the air. We live to gratify the desires of the flesh. And now when we turn to Christ by faith and are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, we are liberated from that slavery.
Right.
We are no longer enslaved by the law of sin and death. Why? Because we've been set free by the law of the Spirit of life. So that's the reality. Now, this doesn't mean that our flesh has been eradicated. So those old patterns are still there. They're still imprinted in these members of ours. So when we're saved, it doesn't mean we can't think stupid thoughts. It doesn't mean that we're still not going to have desires of the flesh. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be tempted by the things of this world. That's why we continue to need the grace of God in our lives. It's the grace of God that teaches us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. And it's the grace of God that teaches us to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. But how Paul frames this, and this is the important aspect of this, of Ron's question, is why is Paul addressing these things? And deeper yet is how does he frame this? And he always frames it in light of our identity. So now that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, the things that we once did as the old man don't fit with who we are now. And that's how he argues constantly. You were once darkness, now you are children of light. Now let's live a life worthy of this gospel, or let's live a life that reflects this newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. So that's how Paul frames it. So when he starts in verse 26, be angry and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your anger. When we were lost, anger was an emotion that controlled us. That was a deep motivating factor in the decisions that we made. And when we acted in anger, we caused harm to other people. Well, that's not love, and that doesn't fit with who we are now in Christ Jesus. So I know in my flesh, when things go wrong with me, there's anger that bubbles up. Now, because I'm in Christ and because God's Spirit lives in me, I don't have to let that anger control me. I don't have to let that be the determining factor in the decisions I make. I can say, no, that's not who I am. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to direct me in this particular situation. He gives some other examples. Let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, and then share what he has with those who are in need. So he's directing us away from just the judicial or legal aspect of sin. The law said don't steal, but being a new creature in Christ, God is moving us to take what we have and share it with others. Yeah. So he's moving us in the love direction, faith expressing itself in love. So this is all these sins that he's mentioning are things that were familiar to us when we were lost. And now that we're saved, we need to become familiar with this faith expressing itself in love. Mm-hmm. And so we need to recognize that in becoming familiar with that, we're gonna meet obstacles and temptations and fleshly desires all along the way. And so Paul keeps driving us back to that reality of who we are in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Great answer, Bob, and thank you for that. Open lines, friends, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. Again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. And in Bob's opening remarks today, he talked about that trail of assurance as opposed to that trail of judgment and condemnation. That's not where we want to go at all. But trail of assurance is a message of encouragement and confidence in the provisions of God for his people, showing us that throughout the Bible that it's very clear we are indeed loved by God. So, friends, if you struggle with knowing that you are secure in his love, well, you'll want to read Trail of Assurance. We want to send you a copy to say thanks for your gift of support in the month of September. Just request your copy when you visit basicgospel.net and click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, click donate on the homepage at basicgospel.net and stand with us. As Bob said early in the broadcast, we really need your help at this particular time. So we encourage you to do that at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this question from a longtime listener. Are all the promises of Israel fulfilled in the body of Christ? In other words, is the church Israel?
Well, the church is not Israel. There's Israel, the nation of Israel, that we see the history of back in the Old Testament. We see they started out as just a family. Yeah. So we had Abraham. He was the patriarch. And then Isaac. And then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And then Jacob had the 12 sons. And it's these 12 sons of Jacob that make up the 12 tribes of Israel. So it was a family, and that family was going through a rough time. There was a famine in the land. The brothers had despised Joseph, the favored son of Jacob, and they sold him into slavery, and he made his way into Egypt, and he found favor in Pharaoh's sight, and he became second in command and overseeing the agriculture in the nation of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And when he found out his brothers were about to die of starvation, he worked it out where they could come and set up shop in Egypt. And so what they meant for evil, God turned it for good. We read that story. And so we have this family group, and they started to grow and multiply. And then once they were set free, once the Exodus happened, so that was a 400-year period. So they were down in Egypt for 400 years. They grew in number. And then God raised up Moses. He delivered the people out of the hands of the Egyptians, sent them to Mount Sinai, constituted them as the people of God through that old covenant, through that Mosaic covenant, and entered into a covenant with them there. And then we read the rest of their history throughout the Old Testament. And they weren't satisfied. They asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, and then Saul turned out to be a bad egg. David rose to power, and then his son Solomon, and then after Solomon, the kingdom split. Yeah. So that's the story of Israel. Now, when Jesus came on the scene, and he died, and he was buried, and then on that third day was raised to life, and then he ascended into heaven. God gave him the Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, he poured that Spirit out on mankind. Mm-hmm. So the real people of God, according to the Word of God, are not ethnic Israel, although they were chosen to be the bearer of the seed,
yeah.
And that seed being Jesus Christ, through whom the world would be blessed. But the real people of God are those who are connected to Jesus Christ. And they're the ones that are going to be with him forever. So the church does not replace Israel. As a matter of fact, it's been us Gentiles have been grafted in. But there's going to be a time when God circles back to that nation of Israel, those that we see in the Old Testament. And they're going to look upon the one they pierced, and I think there is going to be an incredible revival of folks calling on the name of the Lord. And then they will be added to this people of God, mm-hmm. grafted back in to that cultivated vine.
Yeah.
So that's how that works. So No, the church does not replace Israel at all. But Israel, at a point in time, is going to be grafted back in when their hearts soften and they're ready to receive the mercy of God expressed in the person of Jesus Christ.
Great answer, Bob, and thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being here with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you that we stream daily on both Facebook and YouTube live video. You can link from the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. We'd love for you to join the group that views us in the studio every day. Well, if you have questions or circumstances you'd like us to discuss, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and right now especially, we need your support. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net, and as you make your September donation, request your copy of our new resource called Trail of Assurance. We want you to have a copy so that you will know for sure that God loves you very, very much as a child that belongs to Him. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.